Well, thank you for having me again. Obviously, I didn't terrorize you too much the last time, so here we are. Here we are. Thought occurred to me as I was studying. After I prepared this message, I held it up and I said, "Okay, Lord, I did the best I can. Now you do what you want with it." Because I believe we are not only academically and intellectually Christians, we are spiritually Christians. And we are born of God. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. No matter what kind of a intellectual understanding he has of scriptures or anything else. So thank God for that. I want to read you a passage and then do something a little different. I call this faith tested and triumphant. Most preachers that I've heard will talk about faith triumphant, which is a good thing. But I've discovered that if there's true faith there, it's going to be tested. Some people can't really grasp this idea of the need to be tested. But many years ago, I thought about the whole advertising programs that we see on television and on internet, wherever. And when people, automobile manufacturers, whoever, get up and make claims, unless they're blatantly lying, but I mean, other than that, when they make claims about certain things about their products, it's usually because they've tested them. And the greatest product this world is ever going to see is the Church of Jesus Christ in all its glory and splendor at, you know, when Christ comes to take them home. And how could he legitimately say to the world that his church is so wonderful if it was never tested? And so I'm going to talk to you about a little different application today. First, I want to read the passage from which we're going to draw some thoughts. In Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. And whatever translation you go by, it doesn't matter to me. New King James, NIV, whatever. I forget which one I chose here. Probably an NIV or a New King James, but whatever. Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It's through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Let me reference a couple more scriptures as kind of a disclaimer. A disclaimer that justifies my use of this message, even though it's about an Old Testament person called Abraham. Romans 15:4 says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us that we might have encouragement of the scriptures, that we might have hope. So all these things, the interesting thing about that, not only did those things happen to the patriarchs and to those people in the past, but they were written. They were written so we could benefit from it. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 10:11, everything happened to them as examples written for our warning. Okay? And then the most powerful of all, Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Now, I want you to really hear this, because some people don't seem to get a hold of this. Okay? If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We have what has been called a truncated gospel. That simply means it is so viewed so dispensationally that it's almost like God has a half a dozen plans. He does this for a while and chops it off, and does this for a while and chops it off. But I believe there's a continuity from what God spoke in the beginning right on through to the end. Now, there's variations of how he applies what he's saying throughout the various eras, dispensations, whatever word you like to use. But there's a continuity. Because he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Okay? So, if you're Abraham's, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. Heirs according to the promise. Now, Abraham is a great example of faith. Interestingly about Abraham, there are three units of humanity that claim him as their father. The most obvious one is Israel, the Jews. They claim him as the big debate with Jesus and the leaders in John chapter 8. Abraham's our father, Abraham's our father. Interesting enough, the Arabs and the Muslims, they claim Abraham as their father too. Then there's a third group. That's you and me. The Christians claim Abraham as their father, spiritual father. It is an interesting thing. We're not called the children of Moses. Or we're not called the children of any other patriarch, but we're called the children of Abraham by faith. And Abraham said the Apostle Paul said a very discerning thing about Abraham and who his offspring are. And I just want you to think about this, because I think a lot of people don't think. They think they think. What they are basically doing is rearranging their prejudices. He said this, those who have the same kind of faith that Abraham exhibited, those are the children of God. Whoa! This kind of takes care of the whole genetic thing. This kind of takes care of the whole traditional thing. All that stuff. Do you walk in the same kind of faith that Abraham walked in? Then that's the evidence that you are a child of God. Now, I am a glass is half full person. You know the old story. You can focus on the glass is half empty or the glass. I'm a glass is half. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe God's so all powerful that the devil hasn't got a chance. See, I believe this. But I also believe in the working of God. He allows certain things to touch us just to kind of see what we're made out of. You know? And if you have a hard time with that, amen. So Abraham is a great example of faith. Abraham, I believe, was placed in the circumstance which revealed the true strength of his confidence in God. Now, God being sovereign, knew Abraham wouldn't fail. Okay? God, Isaiah 46, verse 10 tells us, God not only knows, but he declares the end from the beginning. That's the God we serve. Okay? So there's a real sense in which God was honoring Abraham by giving him this opportunity to demonstrate his faith. Whew. And to demonstrate to all those who follow in his footsteps as his spiritual offspring. Now the faith of Abraham had already been tested a number of different ways. We won't have time to go into them. But nothing tested him like having to offer his son, Isaac, on an altar. It is an amazing thing. There is a concept called the now and the not yet. And there's an amazing thing how God can speak in terms of something as done that is not quite done. But God knows whether it's going to be done or not. And so how is this referred to? It doesn't say simply that, well, Abraham was willing to offer. No, it says he offered his son. Well, you know, and I know he didn't offer his son, but he was ready to. In fact, I read an article one time, some Jewish theologians commenting on this, and they said, actually, Abraham did kill Isaac, and then God raised him up. I said, whoa, okay, whatever. You know, that's obviously not where I'm coming from. But as far as the eternal purposes of God was concerned, Abraham did offer Isaac. And it was an amazing process. Now, here is what gets me and challenges me. And I'm still talking about Abraham, but we'll get to us in a little bit here. What is amazing is this. The fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham required that Isaac live and go on and reproduce. Yet the very God who gave Isaac to Abraham said, okay, take him and kill him now. Take him and kill him. The other thing is not so important, but it says, take your only son. Well, Abraham had other sons. How could he be his only son? Actually, he was his only son of his legitimate wife, Sarah. And the promises came through him. Now, to seem to destroy the very thing you spent your life waiting for is definitely not natural and definitely not reasonable. Okay? So no wonder Abraham is called the father of the faithful. So let's, as Abraham's children, by faith, let's draw a few thoughts out of this. First, faith tested. Faith is tested when the sacrifices demanded seem unreasonable. Have you ever felt sometimes in what you're going through in your life that God, this is not reasonable? I hear this word once in a while when you're discussing the things of God and says, but that's not fair. Well, I've got a word for you. And if I'm saying anything wrong, the pastor can correct it when he comes back. God is not into fairness. God's into justice. Because there's no way you can get fairness out of a guy who works 12 or 14 hours, whatever it was, in the heat of the sun, the vineyard, and get the same pay as a guy who comes in and works 1 hour. How can you call that fairness? But like the man said, is it not my money? What did I offer you? Work for me and I'll give you a certain amount of money. Yes. Did I give it? Yes. It's my business if I want to give this person the same amount. See, we bargain with God. And I appreciate the power of prayer. I appreciate the relationship we have with God. But let's don't ever forget, He's God all by Himself. And while He wonderfully incorporates us into the program and makes us laborers together with the Lord, never forget that it's all of God. Salvations of the Lord. So things unreasonable. Abraham was challenged to offer the son of promise as a test, and he passed the test. This is so wonderful to me. He passed the test. He had believed God for 25 years waiting for this son to be born. At last we got the boy. Let's groom him. Let's develop him. Let's teach him who he is and what his potential in God is. Hallelujah. What? Take him and kill him? Can you imagine where his mind was going? It's unreasonable. It's unreasonable. Many people serve God, make sacrifices, live for God, and oftentimes don't see the full desires of their heart accomplished. You know, I thank God that the books are not all settled in this life. I remember the story. We were praying for the missionaries, and I noticed in bulletin a retiring missionary coming back and so on. I remember the story of an old missionary. He had served God for many, many, many years on the foreign field. And he was finally coming home, and it was the days of no jet planes, who took a steamship and came across the ocean. When they docked in New York Harbor, there was a band, there was fanfare, there was all manner of things happen, because the illustrious Teddy Roosevelt had just come from a big safari, and he was on the same ship. And the band played, and he came off the ship and everything, and after a while, the docks cleared. There was hardly anybody there. The old missionary, as he came down the ramp, was saying, "Father, I don't understand this. I served all my life for you, and this man comes and there's a big fanfare, and I come home and there's nothing, nobody here to meet me." And that soft, sweet, gentle voice that sometimes speaks to your spirit said to him, "But son, you're not home yet. You're not home yet." Can you imagine the triumph that's going to happen for some people when we get there? So faith is tested when the demand seems unreasonable. Faith is tested when the mystery of God seems unsolvable. There are some things we just will not understand this side of glory. Now settle it. I know we're pretty smart. We can figure it all. No, you can't figure it all out. Sorry. Abraham's future was assured only through Isaac, and yet God said, "Kill Isaac." Now here's a thought you may have thought of, you may not have thought of. Isaac was not only Abraham's son, but Isaac was Abraham's ministry. Because it was through Isaac that all the promises were going to be fulfilled. How can this make sense? Abraham had no answer. But you know the beautiful thing is, he trusted God anyway. "Now God, if you'll only explain to me, then I can trust." No. You don't trust Him because you understand what's happening. You trust Him because He's God. I don't understand what's going on. I've got no answers for some of this. Especially people have maybe children that are going through tremendous physical things and you can't seem to get them healed or whatever. You always have these people that come like, "Well, if only you did this, if only you did that, if only you did the other thing." It's a hard thing. That's when faith is tested. But I hearken back to the words of Job, who people reckon is the oldest book in the Bible. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Ooh, it's not based on what God has done for me, but it's based on my relationship with him. So Abraham had the same kind of thing. Thirdly, faith is tested when the promises of God seem unrealizable. I can't figure out how this is actually going to happen. Good. You see, even the Messiah was to spring from Isaac's lineage. How can this world-blessing ministry come to pass if he died? We know nothing can stop the sovereignty of God. We understand that. Remember, God was the one who gave Isaac to Abraham, and now God said, "Sacrifice him." See, we've read the back of the book. We know how it all shakes down. We know how it all turns out. Abraham didn't have that privilege. Abraham was flying blind. Abraham only had what he thought to be the voice of God telling him what to do. But he trusted God. Wow. Let's get on to the triumph of faith. Maybe you'll breathe a little easier. Faith triumphs because it believes God in spite of difficulties. We kind of get the idea that faith is only functional when everything we want comes to pass. It believes God in spite of difficulties. The offering of Isaac demonstrated in practical terms Abraham's belief that death was no problem for God. There's a gospel singer by the name of Jake Hess. Some of you probably have heard of him. For the last number of years of his life, he functioned on about 20% of his heart and served God and sang and did whatever he did and then went home to be with the Lord. But I remember him singing a song. It was very interesting, considering the physical condition he was in. And the song was called, Death Ain't No Big Deal. Death Ain't No Big Deal. You know, I want to live. I want to live long. Want to live long and prosper? No, just kidding. If you're older, that's okay. But I understand that this life is not all there is. And you understand that this life is not all there is. See, death can neither be a barrier nor a deterrent to God, for God to keep His covenants. See, Abraham understood this. God was able to raise Isaac up from the dead, from which He had already received him in a figurative sense. Hebrews 11:19. There's a couple of options. Some say because of the purposes of God, God had it all figured out, so that in that sense he received him from the dead. I like to look at this in another way. When Abraham and Sarah got married, Sarah was barren. We know from history and scriptures that Abraham was able to sire children. But God didn't give him the promised son then. God waited till even Abraham was beyond the ability to sire children. How do I know that? It says in Hebrews 11:12, they refer to Abraham as a man who is as good as dead. So God wanted no doubt in our minds that what He was going to do was going to be a total miracle. Yet out of this dead situation, He brings the Son of Promise. Okay, faith is triumphant when it trusts God in spite of how things appear. It would be nice to think that God gave Abraham a little tip. Listen, Abe, I'm going to put you through this. I'm not going to actually require you to do it. Actually, at the last minute, I'm going to intervene. But you just be willing and that's not how it worked. As far as Abraham was concerned, he made the preparations. He had the wood. He had the fire. He built the altar. He took his son up there, tied him up, put him on the altar, and he had the knife ready to plunge. In Abraham's mind, he killed him. Angel of the Lord stopped him. God will provide Himself a sacrifice. You know the story if you've read the Bible. Powerful, powerful thing. He did not see the end like we see the end, having the privilege of the written scriptures for us to refer to. He was flying blind. A very interesting verse in Isaiah 42:16 says this, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. Have you ever thought you were kind of walking blind? I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not sure how this is all going to work out. You might think you're walking blind, but there's an all-seeing eye that not only sees your circumstances, but sees the end from the beginning. Because He purposes the end from the beginning. That's the God we serve. Wow. A wise man said this one time, and I never forgot it. I wrote it down. Do not doubt in the dark what God shows you in the light. Thirdly, faith triumphs because it obeys God in spite of consequences. Abraham obeyed not knowing the ultimate outcome. To God, Abraham indeed offered up Isaac. That's why he's called the father of the faithful. Many of us want to know up front, well, what's in it for me? Well, if I do this, what? That's not the kind of faith God's looking for. We obey God, whatever the cost, because we love Him. Kind of like the man in Psalm 15, verse 4, who swears to his own hurt and changes not. I know that's a verse you've all just been waiting to hear all week. Let me give you a little personal story, and I'm starting to stop. I was pioneering a church one time, and I felt in my heart a strange thing. After a year or so, year whatever, I felt the Lord said to my heart, "No, I'm not spooky." I didn't hear an audible voice, but remember, Jesus said, "Not only my prophets, not only my pastors, not only my teachers, my sheep hear my voice." Did you know every true sheep has a built-in mechanism to hear the voice of God? Now, preachers and teachers would like you to think, well, the only way you're going to hear the voice of God is come and hear me. No, no. Every true sheep has a built-in mechanism to hear the voice of God. Now, don't go off half-cocked saying every time you blow your nose it's a revelation. It is not. But God can, by impression, speak to us. And I felt this. Shut this church down and go join another church, which I had pastored before. Take your flock with you. Oh. And I remember I was in a meeting and the person was preaching, and they were preaching on Abraham and Isaac. I don't even remember the message. Here's a strange thing you may not understand. Sometimes you can be in a meeting and a message is going on, and then the Holy Spirit can preach another message inside of your head. You say, well, that's weird. No, it's just supernatural. Anyway, what was going on inside of my head was, this is your Isaac. This is your Isaac. The problem was, all my life in the ministry, I had been a senior pastor. I had always been a senior pastor. I had never worked as an underling. It just was the way it worked out. Now, for me to take this little group and fold it back into this bigger church, which I used to be the pastor of, I would now have to be an associate pastor or an assistant pastor. Think of it. Me. And when the Lord impressed upon me through this other person's preaching, the sacrifice of Isaac, I thought, Lord, if this is my Isaac, you can have it. And we did it. And shortly after, the other pastor moved on and I became the senior pastor again. But I didn't know that that was going to happen. So Isaac was actually his ministry. Let me say this. The Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Study the context and you'll discover he's not talking about his salvation. He is talking about his apostolic ministry. I am what I am by the grace of God. We all can believe we are saved by the grace of God. But can we understand that we are called to whatever ministry we might function in by the grace of God? I know we cooperate, we respond. I happen to be of the persuasion that even your ability to respond comes from God. But I'll leave that with you. Let me finish with this thought. And I've never heard anyone refer to it like this, but it came to me. It's what I call the resignation of faith. Now, we're all excited about the dynamic of faith. We're all excited about the production of faith and getting the job done by faith and attempting great things for God by faith. But what about the resignation of faith? What do you mean by resignation of faith? Resignation means, among other things, submission or an unresisting acceptance of something as inescapable. For our reference is simply being submitted to God. Your faith will really be victorious more by you learning how to submit to God than to achieving something great in the minds of men. Resignation of faith. What a contradiction in terms. Because faith is that power. It's the currency of heaven. It's one of the great things that pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible. One of those resignation means giving up. But you know what? I remember this little gospel song, I lost it all to gain everything. See, it's not about me. It's not about God grooming my potential. It's about me going to the cross and dying. It's about me yielding my life to Him. And then out of the ashes of my submission comes a new life, a new ministry, a new understanding. I remember I was in a meeting one time and this old Scottish preacher was preaching. And the church was kind of a little bit, I don't want to be judgmental, but maybe a little carnal. And I remember him saying, I've concluded that God will bless any flesh. And some of them said, ooh. As long as it's crucified. Understand this. What you achieve is great. Whatever. But you are His project. Everybody reads and talks a lot about Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Go on to verse 10. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship. We are His project. We are His masterpiece. In it all, it's not so much about what you achieve, what you attain. Listen, what you achieve and what you attain may or may not follow you into eternity. But what you allow God to do in you is far greater than what God does for you. Because that builds the character, that builds the relationship with Him in you that you take into eternity. Oh, Brother Duncan, I'm saved by grace. I know. So am I. But you see, faith has got, in my mind, faith has got to be elevated from merely the instrument through which we get what we think we want or need to the sustaining power in our lives that helps us to go through the processes required to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. Who you are becoming is much more important to the purposes of God than what you think you're able to achieve. God bless His word to your hearts. Father, do what you will with this word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.